Welcome to 216, the Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I'm your host, Fear Agent. Today, we've got an excellent episode with three of the main tournament admins here to promote and answer questions from the community about the upcoming main tournament that begins next week. Excited to get to that. It's been a while since I've done one of these introductions. The last episode that we had was the big draft, the video game draft that we had. I hope you all enjoyed it. Didn't get a lot of votes, but the clear winner from that one on the votes that we did get was Zaf. Exposition 33 is basically the best game that's come out in the last 25 years. But he did have a great draft. And I had a blast drafting with those guys. I thought that was a lot of fun. And we'll see if we can do some more drafts like that in the future. Those are honestly like my new favorite type of episode to do. They are a lot of work though. So congratulations to Zaf on winning that draft according to the community. I still stand by my picks. I love my picks. The other thing that I wanted to touch on is we did run the 216 Broskies tournament again, and we just crowned a new champion. And by new, I mean repeating champion. Nick Hera Basement Cage, which is Telethon Humbug, ran it back. They beat the SMZ3 finalists, Gamachu and MM2 NES Cartridge, in the finals, which you can view on Dante's channel. Dante restreamed that for us. So if you want to view the VOD, it's over there. I want to shout out Dante for restreaming that for us. And again, huge shout outs to Claire Mouse, who made the tournament possible. I wouldn't be able to run this tournament without her. And we put the 216 name on it and I get a lot of the credit, but I just want to make sure that she gets the majority of the credit because it wouldn't happen without her. So I really, really appreciate Claire Mouse. Make sure you give her a shout out in the Discord. I imagine we'll bring it back next year. It ran so well. And that's all due to the amazing work that she's done. So we'll see if we can get Nick Hera Basement Cage back on the show to talk about this year's tournament and running it back. It's impressive. It's hard to do. It's just shows how good those two are, especially working together and in this mode. So I'll work on getting them back on 216 in a future episode. But today we've got the main tournament admins. And before I get into it, I just wanted to give the huge shout outs to them for coming on. I wasn't sure if they'd want to come on the show because it might feel like I'm trapping them. And that was not my goal. I'm not trying to trap them. I'm not trying to grill them. I'm not trying to punish them or make them answer for what they're doing to the main tournament. None of that. I really wanted to promote the main tournament. That was my goal. And with everything with 216, I feel like talking things out in voice just makes things much more palatable. Like, we get into these discussions and arguments and criticisms and Discord, and it can be, I don't know, it can be frustrating. And so I thought by giving them this platform, they could share exactly why they made the decisions that they did for this season. Not because they have to, but just for themselves and for the community. I wanted to open the door. And so we've got community questions that they answer, and they've got some of the questions that I bring. And I hope I don't come off as a dick. Like, I really didn't want to make this like, I know how to do it better, so listen to me, and why didn't you do it my way? That's not my goal. I hope that doesn't come across. I don't think it does. But I wanted to give them the opportunity to answer your questions and explain why they went with the modes that they went with this year, their outlook for the tournament in the long run. And I thought they were great. I had a really good conversation with the three of them. So why don't we just get to it? Here is my conversation with Aurorus Nerd, Kazden, and Pullfloat, three of the main tournament admins. I'm joined by the main tournament admins, three of the six main tournament admins. We've got Aurorus Nerd on the show, Kazden's back, been on 216 many times, and Pullfloat. I'd like to, first of all, thank you all for being here. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Let's just do some introductions. So, Kazden, we'll go last with you since you've actually had a full, proper 216 episode. We'll end with you. Let's start with you, Aurora.
For sure.
Okay, so when did you become a main tournament admin? And how long, I don't know, just give us a little bit of your backstory of being a part of Link to the Past Randomizer.
Yeah, so I started back in 2020, at the end of 2020 or so, probably around September time. It was when I got into going to the Master Randomizer, and a lot of people have been around long enough to know Chelsea X Lynn was kind of the first entry into Randomizer that I watched, and you know, that's where I sort of got my start. Went into 2021, you know, didn't make that main tournament, ended up winning the mentor tournament, and sort of from there, just kind of ended up kept playing casual stuff, kept playing tournaments, ADTs, you know, the inaugural Path Boots tournament where I started adminning, a bunch of different tournaments. I basically feel like I've got my hand in a lot right now, but it's just because it's been quite a ride in the community. But and I became a main tournament admin, full admin last year. I was the leader in 2023. And so, yeah, so since 2024, I've been another main tournament.
What made you want to become a main tournament admin?
Well, it was the whole thing of wanting to be, you know, continue to be a bigger part of the community, right? And being able to kind of see this, I could see the visions of the main tournament from afar, but, you know, getting the opportunity to be a part of that moving forward and trying to, you know, see what works and what doesn't from more of the inside aspect is kind of why I wanted to be part of the admin team for main tournament, at least now moving forward.
Okay, cool. Pool Float, what about you? What's your story? How long have you been in the community? What as far as Link to the Past Randomizer goes, and then how did you become a main tournament admin?
All right. Well, first, thanks for having us all on. I appreciate that. And for me, I got my start playing the Randomizer probably, I want to say, early to mid 2017 was when I first learned about it. And it was basically I was on YouTube at work. My boss, of course, didn't hear that. The good old algorithm was like, oh, you might like this video by Andy Lasso. And it was the Randomizer. So I watched it and I'm like, nothing is anywhere near where teenage me remembers, because I'm old enough that I was a teen when this game came out, when the vanilla game came out. So it looked really interesting. And I kind of went down the rabbit hole of started watching more and then eventually started playing it. And then I don't think I actually did anything competitive wise until one of the very early seasons of Ladder. Basically, like for me, like I play it to have fun. And I say it jokingly and, you know, without any, like, not trying to be self-deprecating, but I'm really not that good at a competitive level at this game, but I enjoy it. And so for me, I actually initially joined the main tournament as a restreamer, because I figured if I'm not that good playing it, then at least I can enjoy I can get some satisfaction out of helping to get more races, get more people live on air, you know, be able to have people essentially just more visibility basically. And so that's what basically got me there. And then I ended up from there, it became somewhat quickly a restream mod, and then I was asked to become a leader, with still focusing on restreaming. And then just through dedication, work ethic, all of that. Then I just, when Iceman had decided he was starting to wind down his involvement as an admin, then it was basically, hey, do you want to, take over his, spot when he steps down from admin? And so, my first year as an admin was last year. And then this is my second year and the first where Iceman actually has stepped back into much more of like an advisory role.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very cool. Kaysden, let's hear a little bit about your story and then how you became an admin for the main tournament.
Yeah. Similar to the others, I started playing the game like actually trying to compete in 2020 with the 2020 mentor tournament, same as a lot of people when, you know, we're all cooped up at home and nothing better to do but play the video game. I'm not going to go too deep into it. Like I said, I've kind of given this story several times, but yeah,
see the show that you were on. In our archives.
I'd started, you know, way back when I ran the Lightspeed Async tournament, just like, I'm going to do this. It seems fun and it's a simple format. We did that. Then we started the Kabuki tournament. It was me, Aurora's Nerd, and John Snow back in the day. We started that and still keeping that going. And in 2023, there was a call put out on the main tournament Discord to like apply to become an admin. It's like, well, I've done some tournament stuff, like it seems fun enough to do, like I enjoy helping out and trying to organize and run these things. So I decided I'd throw my name in, and I got picked to be a leader in 2023 with the intention to promote to admin for last year for 24, and that's kind of what happened, and here I am today.
Cool. All right, so we're here to really promote the main tournament. Like, not that the main tournament needs promotion. It's the main tournament, right? The tournament that's been going on the longest in the community. It's evolved over the years. Even before my time was the big 512 Swiss main tournament, which is crazy to think that there was 512 people signed up for a tournament. Who wants to give me like the lowdown of what's going on this year for the 2025 main tournament?
I guess I can go ahead. So sort of taking from the feedback from last year where we had three modes, and I think the idea that we had kind of gotten these three modes around when we did it last year was we wanted to find a nice, you know, happy medium between, you know, something that was a little bit easier in terms of a mode into something that was a little bit more difficult that people would enjoy. And on top of that was to find, like, our whole vision of it was to find the best, like, all-around random player. But I think with three modes, we missed a little bit of that in between. So with this year, we chose five modes that we thought were a little bit more of that challenge, but we're able to get that all-around, best all-around random player thought process, right? So we give you the lowdown of the five modes. We have our one of our modes being Casual Boots. You know, everybody knows it, but it's also been one of the bigger tournaments of the season. We have Cross Keys, which of course still is the biggest tournament of the, you know, tournament season that continues to go on forever. We brought in Kabuki as more of our 80 keys variation for this. And two interesting different modes, a logical anonymizer with, I believe it's called Random Now, Random Boss Shuffle. So you can find anything in any boss room that can fit that boss, with the added texture of, well, you might have to have an item to get through a kill room, there's going to be a deadlock in a kill room, and you have the items to kill the dead. And then our last little wildcard fun mode that we wanted to give a little bit of spice to was Open 80 Tile Swap. So that's our five modes at the base core of it, and all that Casted and Pool Flow kind of add in some of what I've mentioned there.
All right. So yeah, basically what Aurora said there is it very, very accurate and describes the intentions behind the modes. And I know, for example, one, and I'm sure you're going to have at least one question about it, about, you know, AD tile swap, and exactly what brought us to that. You know, it did, basically after having only the three last year, you know, one of the big things for feedback was, was more options. And, you know, we could talk more in depth about tile swap a little bit later, but basically we wanted something that was like, we didn't want full inverted, but we wanted, we wanted something like Aurora said, just not open, open or open boots or something like that. And, you know, we continued with an entrance mode because while there definitely was some feedback, positive and negative, with respect to Cross Hunt last year, the majority consensus was, when there was negative things about it, it generally wasn't the presence of entrants, it was other aspects of it. So and because Cross Keys really is probably the most raced mode in terms of pickup races and everything, you know, we felt that it would be a disservice to the community as a whole if we put on the so-called main tournament and there wasn't an entrance mode in it.
It's like, and I don't think that's even like subjective. Like Cross Keys is the most raced mode, you know, especially if you consider all its variations with either pseudo boots or pseudo mirror or whatever. Like,
sure,
Cross Keys is the most raced mode in the community, like, without even question. Kaz Boots is kind of a close second. So
the tournament starts Monday, September 29th. You've got 3 weeks of qualifiers, which I think is pretty standard. I think that's kind of what's been going on for a while. And continuing from last year, maybe even the previous year, I'm not sure. You can async the qualifiers, right? Or you can, there is some live races you can join.
Yeah, so that started in 2023, I believe, was the first year that the asyncs were a thing with the card system.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, when we had the card system, it's just live quals, and everyone qualified with the open hard mode with the modified item pool. And like, there was a complaint there. It's like everyone's qualifying on this, and then you get into the tournament and suddenly there's all these different modes. So when we did the asyncs, that allowed to be like, well, now that you're qualifying with all the modes, it's going to be a little bit more representative of like your performance up across the board, rather than just like, hey, how well can you play this one mode?
It's safe to say the qualifiers have been one of the best received changes in the last few years. Is that fair to say? Like, the fact that you can async them or you could do live races, I feel like, has been pretty positive.
Yeah, I think it's been a pretty well-received system doing the async quals. I do think there's a little bit of something that's lost with having all the big live quals.
Yeah.
But I think that the trade-off for the flexibility has been worth it overall.
Sure. Yeah, I do. I think there's missing the excitement of all of the live qualifiers. There was also the fact that there was a lot of people that just couldn't do those qualifiers. So I don't know. I feel like it's a trade-off that the community is sort of like adopted and understands and is overall good. Like, you're never going to get 100%, but I think for the most part is like pretty well regarded and received.
Yeah. And it was basically for the, because, you know, Link to the Past is a, it's a worldwide player base. And yeah, I mean, especially like imagine someone on the West Coast, you know, so it'd be like at the time we're recording 4 o'clock in the afternoon for them. But then you've got someone in Europe where it's now suddenly 1 a.m, 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. You know, that's so while there obviously are all different time zones and people within those time zones are, you know, whether you want to call them night owls or whatever, there's also people that just can't do that. And so, like, you know, if you can make a live race and you want to, you know, we wanted to try to have enough of them, but if your schedule just really doesn't permit for that, then, you know, we wanted not only did we want async as an option, but we wanted to ensure that we had a secure async method, because of course we never want to talk about that nasty controversy that happens in some events. But, you know, you just you know, I think asyncs have become more accepted by the community as of late, because it's been shown that they can be protected.
Mm-hmm.
It's plus easier for everyone. People are getting back to work, like in office stuff. Like, it's just so much harder to do live stuff and coordinate that on a, you know, a worldwide schedule. Like, doing live quals gets very, very difficult to schedule it for something that works for anywhere from, you know, Europe, and we've even got, what, like Julo in Australia, which one person. I'm sure there might be others, and like it's really hard.
I think Tam is Australian. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really hard to hit live quals, have schedules. We need the admin staff able to proctor all of those races on top of that. So like it gets very challenging.
It's the best of both worlds though, because they're not gone. We still have live races. So
yeah.
So you've got 3 weeks. You could just do all five of your qualifiers in one day, technically, right? If you want to async them.
Yeah, you absolutely could.
Okay.
I would never do that, but there's nothing stopping you.
Bleed. Yeah. Yep.
That's what I'm doing. I'm just gonna do one day, all five qualifiers. Let the results slice. Yeah. So you got 3 weeks starting September 29th. After that, the top 128 will be put into groups, right? And how does groups work?
Yeah, this is going to be fun. So we kind of came up with this newer system for groups and for brackets. I'll get to brackets later. But for groups, you know, it'll be groups of four. You know, it just makes everything divisible and easy. The idea, though, is that we're going to actually add a veto system. So the top seed is going to get to be able to either defer or choose a mode to veto. And that mode will not be played between whoever you're playing against in that specific matchup. And then the person, the lower seed, will veto a different mode in that situation. So you're going to be left with three modes, and then we're going to give either the top seed the option to choose the first mode or defer, and vice versa. After, you know, first mode gets picked, then you do pick the second mode, and that's kind of going to be how it's going to work. It's going to be two races per. So you're going to have a situation where one mode out of those three leftover modes isn't going to get picked to play. But at the same time, we wanted to offer a little bit of player autonomy to be like, I don't want to play this, so I'm going to say forget it. Like, if you're not a great entrance player and you have to play somebody who is an entrance champion, you know, you know where you're going with that. You know, you play your strengths, you play against that. So it offered a little bit more autonomy for the players as opposed to sort of that randomization or automation outside of player control.
So, okay, so I'm trying to understand it. So let's say I'm the higher seed and I'm playing the lower seed, one of my two games. I can either veto a mode or choose to veto the second mode, right?
Yeah, so it's going to happen in two stages. First, you're going to go around. You either get to veto a mode, or you can defer and let the lower seed veto first, and then you veto. So the vetoes will happen. And then before you play a game, then top seed again will get the choice. You either get to pick your mode or defer to lower seed to pick the first mode.
Oh, so you actually get to pick the mode. So it's not random. Yeah. It's not random. So like, okay. For some reason, I was thinking that it was randomized. Okay. So,
yeah, so you're saying it's not randomized. So you do your veto. It's basically a pick ban system. So if you've ever played, like, you know, a MOBA or something where you get ban, pick kind of deal, it's the same kind of thing, but with you ban a mode and then you go and you do your pick the mode. So it's all outlined in the rules document for the exact process of it.
So why would I defer my choice?
So like if you're the top seed and you're thinking like, hey, I'm going to defer cross keys or I'm going to ban cross keys, like that's something I would do because I don't think it's a secret that I'm not a entrance player. But I would defer the choice because what if my opponent decides to ban cross keys? It's like, okay, well, now I don't have to. I can do something else. Like that's why you would want to maybe let them have the first veto, or if you don't care, you just go ahead and use yours.
Yeah, you can use it as a bit of a strategy play where, you know, if you're thinking, like Jason said, if you're thinking along those lines, and if I'm already prepared to ban cross keys, but I have a feeling my opponent's going to do the same, I'll defer first, let them ban cross keys, I get the option to take my second worst mode away from that grouping, so I can choose.
Yeah, it's more like anytime we've done having the option to have a pick of a mode or something, the question always comes up from whoever's the top seed is like, hey, can we defer? And that's just like, we're just trying to anticipate like that question would be asked and we're okay with the defer as your choice.
So there's five modes. Let's say I'm the high seed. I veto cross keys. The lower player vetoes their choice. Let's say they do Kabuki, and then I get a pick from the three remaining modes
for game one.
For game one, yeah. So then game two, does it then switch where the low seed gets to pick first?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So game two, low seed gets to pick. And if there's a game three for brackets, then the remaining mode will be game three. If you're in groups, you're just playing each player twice. So the third mode just doesn't happen in that case. But for brackets, okay. It would be pick the first mode, pick the second mode. If there's a game three, it's the remaining mode.
So technically you could play like three races of cross keys.
No, it's one mode. It's each mode is played once.
Once you pick that mode,
it's picked.
It's picked for the rest of the that round.
Interesting. For that round, yes.
That's not opponent. Yes.
So you're forced to play the different.
Yeah, the three modes are going to have to be played.
Yeah.
Or okay. two to three modes.
Okay. So I'm glad we're having this conversation because it gets confusing. Like, is the system to veto, like, how does that work? Is it handled within Discord? Do you submit a Google form?
Yeah, it's just going to be a submission of the, just like any other race, and there'll be an option to select which mode it is. So like there's going to have to be.
But how do the vetoes happen? It just happens within the threads?
Yeah, it's just going to happen. Okay. Like we don't really have like a full automation in place that. So it's just going to be discussion between people. And we're going to say like, you know, you got to have to do your vetoes first and then you do your mode picks.
Yeah, okay. So
like each other to also just be able to talk about it and be cool with it too. So, you know, we're all playing for fun. So, you know,
yeah.
So you've got 3 weeks to get six races done. Yes. Is that right?
Yes.
So you'll race everyone twice. And you can do those at your leisure. You don't have to wait for anything. You just, as soon as you can race them or groups, schedule them.
Yeah, for the groups. Yeah. If you want to do four races in the first week, you can. If you want to put them all till the end, you can. But as long as they get done in time. Okay. Like it's not like you have to play these people this week or you have to play the next person this week. It doesn't matter. Like you have six games, you have 3 weeks. Get them in whatever works best.
Okay. And then you'll cut to a top 64, is that right, for the brackets?
Yep, that's right. So top two in each group of bits, making a 64-person bracket, and then basically seed from there. It'll basically run like similar to last year's in terms of how
single elimination best of three?
Yeah, single elimination best of three.
And then you'll crown a new champion. Yep. All right, so for the most part, it feels like running back what you did last year, just with new modes and some extra wrinkles as far as vetoes and things like that?
Yeah, just trying to add a little bit more choice into it, a little more control, player control than what the card system used to have, because like there was a chance at the old card system where you end up having to play Infrosia for the entire tournament because that's just what RNG was going to do to you. It's unlikely, but it did happen. Some people never got to play the mode that they most wanted to play. Some people only got to play the mode that they least wanted to play, and you had like you didn't really get any say in it. It's just whatever the bot throws at you. And on top of that, you didn't know your mode until race time. So like you have to practice all five modes constantly because you'd have no idea what's coming up. So you have to be ready for anything. So I just tried to kind of relax that a little bit, give a little more control to players, let them have a little bit of agency and, you know, just trying to refine it.
Nobody wants to play the same mode in a five mode tournament every single time, right? So
I remember I wouldn't mind playing cross keys the entire time.
I remember Bryce's 2022 getting, I think he didn't get a single keys mode all stage, which is insane because there was two of them in that tournament. So, you know, having some player autonomy allows to kind of shift away from that if you feel like you want to play something different, you can. But yeah, we wanted to have a little bit more player autonomy, player control in this situation.
Yeah, and the three modes last year was just a little too limited. So we kind of recognize that. That's kind of the feedback we got. It's like just three was not quite enough. And then like there were people who didn't like open. Like it was the least played mode of the entire tournament. It was always put off to game three and not a lot of people like were choosing, let's start with open or let's do that as game two. It happened, but it was pretty rare.
Sure. So if I didn't want to play, let's say, Enemizer the entire tournament, I could just use my veto every time for that, right?
You could,
yeah.
Okay. So no one's forced to play any of the modes if they want to. Like, if I really hate Enemizer, which I do, I could just default and use Enemizer and never have to worry about it the entire time.
Outside of quals, like, you'll have to do your one qual.
Because
there's no drops in the quals, so you will have to play it at least once.
Sure.
But yeah, if that's the direction you want to go and you just know ahead of time, like, hey, I'm going to veto this mode every time, that's an option that you have.
Which is nice if someone that doesn't like entrance, right? Like you were saying, like, if you don't, I don't play entrance. I don't want everyone to learn it. I could just veto cross keys the entire time.
Yeah. And I think there's going to be a mix. Like, I know I've seen some people saying it's like, oh, this mode's going to be vetoed by everyone the entire time. It's like, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think there's a little bit of projection. It's like, I don't want to play this mode. I'm going to veto it the whole time.
But sure.
I don't think everyone's going to have the same opinion there.
Right. No.
There's going to be a mode that's a most popular veto. Like, that's unavoidable. That's just like one of them has to have it. So that's going to happen. And, you know, maybe it will be an overwhelming amount. I don't know. But, you know, we'll see how it goes and we'll adjust for future years.
Poolfold, let me ask you this. What was the reception to the 2024 main tournament overall? Do you feel like you guys, it was a success, or was there a lot of, I mean, people bitch in this community all the time about everything. It's just, I don't think it's limited to just Link to the Past Randomizer. People, any community, everyone is going to complain about things. But overall, do you guys feel like from the feedback you got and the way you assess it, that the 2024 main tournament was a success?
I think it was for the most part. I know, we did have critiques that tended to focus on specific aspects. Like I mentioned earlier, where some people just really didn't like Cross Hunt. We had some complaints around the initial hovering and Moldorm bounce and all of that. But I think, and other than the specific mode, I think the biggest thing that we had as a negative was, which was just already mentioned, was the lack of modes or the lack of diversity in the modes. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, yeah. Did it go perfect? No, I don't think it went perfect. But I think it went overall. It went pretty well. But we definitely are trying to. I don't know if the correct phrase would be correct, but we're definitely trying to improve further upon what we thought was a pretty good year overall. For example, the hovering and the Moldorm bounce, that was controversial even among the admins. We released it. There was definitely a lot of feedback, whether it be positive, negative. And so we changed that. And I think for the most part, given that we showed that we were willing to change it. And so far there hasn't been too much other than, you know, people with, you know, their feelings about tile swap or logical Enemizer. It's been relatively quiet so far this year. So I think that shows that both how the tournament itself went from a playing aspect and from a admin perspective last year, I think that shows we did pretty well.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I mean, that's just, from the outside, everyone's going to have their opinions, but it's interesting to hear from an admin perspective, whether or not you considered it a success, and it sounds like you guys did. Do you follow the TARC rules? Is there any specific rules like covering or Moldorm bounce or anything that's banned this year?
So for this year, the only, we are following the TARC rule set. The only thing that is technically a little bit different is with tile swap, the it's not, and again, it's not actually against the rules, but if you're using Muffin's tracker, you do have to enable the not technically tournament legal auto tracking or race legal auto tracking, because otherwise it can't auto detect the tile swaps the same way that the code tracker pack can.
Say, like, I've had some discussion with Muffins there, you know, Muffins being on TARC as well makes it a little easier to kind of go into it. So we kind of dug into the rules, and there is a section that covers as far as like region endpoints and stuff. And there was a little bit of discussion, like, is this legal or not? And it's kind of a bit of a gray area for whether auto tracking that is legal or not. We did add a rule in there that's like the auto tracking of the tile you are currently in is allowed for this tournament. I don't know if that's going to get clarified in the future. Like, kind of want to see how this goes. How do people receive that? I don't think the auto tracking is a big deal, considering you can just open up your map in Tile Swap and you can see what tiles are swapped on the in-game map just by pressing X. So like, the information is all there anyway. You can't press X and have it auto populate your map. Like, that's not allowed. It's only when you enter the screen, now you're on the screen, you see, is it the light world or dark world screen, and then it can update that tile. That's what it does. So that's what you're allowed to do.
All right.
I think also, like, you can just say, even if it was an illegal, like, function, for example, I think for it being such a brand new mode, we wanted it to have the ability, we wanted to have players have the ability to auto track that, like, it's something brand new. Like, we want people to be able to
it's that, and it's also, it's like there's two trackers that have support for the mode. There's Muffin's tracker and there's Code Tracker, and we didn't want to be like, okay, well, we're just going to do this rule which eliminates one tracker from being used. Like, that's not helpful when, like, we're trying to make it as accessible as possible and let people use, you know, there's not a ton of options out there. It's playable without a map tracker. Like, it's not as complex as it, scary as it sounds when you hear Overworld Shuffle or Overworld Branch. Like, it sounds like, oh no, this is going to be insane. It's like, it's really not that bad, but we do want to make sure to allow the tools that are out there to be used for this year. And then if there's any rulings in the future, we're probably just going to stick with whatever TARC ends up ruling in the future if this were to ever come back. So that's kind of where that's where we're at with that right now.
Sounds good. All right. So that's the tournament. Now let's get to the community questions. There's a lot of them to go over, and we're already running late on time. So I'm going to give you a couple of the softball ones first.
Sure.
Some of the easier questions, and then we'll get into the, I mean, overworld the swap is going to be the big question, right? Like, the modes are always the big questions. But Dapper Wormman asks, what's your favorite part of ALTTPR?
For me, it's not a specific mode. It's not a specific, it's honestly not even the randomizer itself, which, you know, obviously I do enjoy it. For me, the best part for me is just the overall variety. Like, you know, you look back to V1 and then you look back from V1 and then even up to V31 and then everything that's happened since with doors and overworld and everything. And you're like, it's just so amazing that all of these options are there for a relatively small game from 1992. And and there's such a passionate not only fan base but developer base that we're still getting new features on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think for me, in my case, for me, it's just the people. Like, I would say, like, some of my better friends in the community and getting the opportunity to meet them and going to SGLs together, being able to have a sense of community and an online group that somehow we still can, like, that we have some interaction, you know, outside of that, and that, like, aspect of it for me also is kind of the biggest reason why I love ALTTPR. We have that kind of community aspect within us, and that's been one of my favorite things about it.
Yeah, and I would add for me that as far as things that haven't already been said, like just how well this game works as a randomizer game. Like, it's kind of wild that this game was developed, you know, back in 1992, and, you know, who could have known that, you know, 20 years later, someone's gonna be like, what if we just put all the items in random locations?
Yeah.
It's like, that sounds like that sounds awful. It's like, no, but it works. It's like the fact that the various different logic things exist and there's multiple ways to do certain dungeons, it just lends itself so well to being randomized.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really good. But yeah, between that and the community and like the people you meet is probably the best part.
Homemade Beer asks, what do you see for the future of Main Tournament and its place in the community going forward? Who wants to take that one?
So I think the best thing about this tournament, what we do, is that we do take it, you know, a year by year process. And so I think the good thing about it is that we can continue to, like, we can still continue to develop it in the future. Like, I can see it still being a staple in the community. It's something that also the community recognizes as a big tournament, you know, something similar to League, something similar to Cross Keys. Like, it is something that people recognize. So I can see, you know, as we go, it's hard to see what the future holds for it. But as a whole, you know, we are always willing to develop it and listen to feedback on it. And I think we've shown that in the last couple of years. So I think in the future, it's still going to be a consistent tournament. It'll just be maybe a different format, maybe a bit of a, you know, change here and there, but that's where I see it. And, you know, Kason and Poolfoot might have other thoughts, but I think that it could still be a staple, pretty big staple in the community for sure.
Yeah, so in my case, I basically agree with that pretty much entirely. For me, I think in terms of the main tournament and the future, you know, we have, like we've mentioned already, we have the Cross Keys tournament, Casual Boots, Kabuki, you know, every you know, and then, you know, League, you know, we have League for, you know, for team play. I think what I see is the role of main tournament now, you know, now and continuing is, potentially the largest tournament that's for solo play, that's multi-mode. Whereas like Cross Keys, especially this year, there were a lot of different possible deviations. Like, you know, you could have wound up with all dungeons or, you know, various. I unfortunately haven't had a chance to watch as much as I would have liked to this year. But in terms of the main tournament, it's, you know, it's a single tournament, single player, but multiple modes. And, you know, our goal is a variety of modes where some may go over well, some, you know, like we said earlier, may just get vetoed by almost everybody and they just really don't want to play that mode, which is also fine by us because that helps us realize, okay, well, if this got like a 70% veto, we probably don't want it next year. We want a different mode. But yeah, I think the way I see it is just that it could be the largest multi-mode tournament.
Okay. Got a couple questions from Wall Kicks. We'll start with this one. How much of the feedback provided from previous tournaments influenced decisions made for this tournament? We touched a little bit about that, but who wants to answer that question?
I guess I'll start and then, you know, everybody can add in. Just because I took a bigger step in looking at the feedback from last year, it was definitely more of last year's feedback because, you know, with us being a new, you know, that newer admin team or that newer fresh blood admin team, you know, we want to try and be able to, you know, take that feedback and be able to make something different and make it so that, you know, we're listening to the community, you know, trying to take those words that they're telling us and, you know, moving forward in this tournament, we want to be able to try and appease to, you know, we're never going to appease everybody, but our idea is to take what people are saying and be able to try and create something that's a little bit more, you know, a little bit more of a diverse aspect of Rando and try to make it better as we go forward. And I'll let Casey and Poolfoot go from there.
I essentially agree with all of that. We had a lot of text back and forth in, you know, in the admin section. And then we had some Discord calls as well, where we talked about the feedback. We reviewed it. You know, it was all compiled afterwards into, you know, a more digestible format for review. And you know, for the most part, one thing I really have to give the community credit for is the far majority of the feedback was constructive in a way where it wasn't just you know, inverted sucks LOL, you know, it was,
yeah,
or you know, cross on sucks LOL, you know, there was the people, you could tell some people, yeah, they put a real quick note down, but it was still it was still you know, understandable. And then we had people that really went out of their way to very detail and thoroughly provide feedback, which really helped us. So because, yeah, we are a younger admin team with you know, like Rick and Iceman stepping down for this year. So we definitely wanted to, while we have our own ideas on how to do things, we also don't want to just completely alienate the community, because then what good is a tournament if you alienate the community? So right. we wanted to make sure that while we don't necessarily like let the community decide everything, because boy, could that be a bad idea if you just like, oh yeah, let's just follow every suggestion, and you know, that couldn't possibly be a mistake. But we also didn't want to just ignore feedback, because quite frankly, that's just not right, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also hard because like for every bit of feedback saying it's like, oh, this aspect was great, there's someone else who says the exact opposite. So it's like, what do you do in that situation? It's a real tough balance between like anything that any one person likes, someone else doesn't, and vice versa. Like it's, you just
kind of, but there's usually a lot of times you can find a majority.
There are trends. And like when you find a big trend of like, oh, like this is more of a consensus here, it's like, yes, there's probably one or two people that are going to disagree, but they, you know, for the most part, if somewhat people tend to all agree, like we're going to take that and figure out like maybe their suggestion may not necessarily be what we want to do.
Sure.
But there's, you know, we can look, it's like, well, there is a problem here and maybe we find a different way to fix it. So like, it just depends what, and if anytime there's consensus, we do try to take that for what it's worth and move on and move with it and, you know, try and improve it for the next time.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Wallkicks also asks this, and I feel like this would be a question coming from me. I feel like, of the big, there's two big tournaments, the league and the main tournament, that don't just play a single mode. Every other tournament is based on a mode, right? Those are the two big ones that are usually played multiple modes. So the question is, do the admins see the main tournament as an event made for the entire community? And the reason I bring up the league is it feels like, and this is just my perspective, I don't know if you guys agree or even if the community agrees, but it feels like we're making changes for change's sake as opposed to what the broader community wants. So do you guys see the admin, do you see the main tournament as an event for the entire community?
Yeah, no, I definitely do. It is hard. It's really hard with multi-mode tournaments to get something that's going to cast a net to capture everyone, because if you make it too difficult or like too complex of your modes, then you're going to alienate newer runners or people who are not into that complexity. But by the same token, if you make the modes too simple, you could end up alienating, you know, some of the runners that are more into the complexity and the harder, more difficult modes. So it's like it's a very hard balance to reach to get a modes that are representative of, you know, what is being played. But it definitely, the goal is to make it for the whole community.
So wouldn't simplicity be better for everyone then? Because even if you play more difficult modes, that means you're used to playing simpler modes, right? Like, so
yeah,
like isn't complexity alienating?
Complexity in either direction, if you go too far in either direction, you can alienate. Like, I mean, like imagine if we just went back and played the hard standard mode again as a single mode tournament. I don't, like, how many people are going to want to join that? I think there's still burnout from that mode.
And like, I don't know if there's burnout from that mode or if the way the tournament was ran, because those tournaments lasted so long. You're playing... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, the tournament,
the length of the tournament's about the same, but when you're playing a single mode, it's like that. And then if you're going to do five modes, like trying to find five distinct modes that are also simple is also difficult. And like, if you're not like, entrance is one of the things that you could file under the complexity thing, right? But if you do that and you're not including the most popular mode played by the rando community as a whole, like, is I see that could be alienating as well.
But what about taking something? So, like, let's say you did hard open Kaz Boots or Kabuki. I think feel like those are almost the same thing. One's AD, I think, is the only difference. Cross keys inverted and like an enemizer. I feel like those cover the range. Why the need to? And I guess I'll just go into Wall Kick's next questions. What discussions were had regarding the inclusion of Overworld Shuffle?
So, like, the idea with where Overworld Tile Swap came from is we were trying to find a new mode for Open, because again, Open was the least played mode. Nobody was really that enthused about just plain old Open 7-7 being in there. And it kind of started as an idea of like, well, what if we just added this to Open and let's see how it plays? And at that point, we were going to, you know, probably have either Ambrosia or Flukies or some other inverted variety. And then we play tested the mode and we played a bunch of seeds. And the more we played, I realized like this mode kind of feels like inverted. Realistically, when you play it, that's how the mode feels. It feels like an inverted light. And if we had that plus an inverted mode, it's not like that's going to be too much inverted. Like, I don't think inverted's not popular enough to earn two spots in the mode lineup. So like, well, if we make this our inverted mode, then we're back to the original problem of what do we do for an open spot? And it's like, well, the most popular kind of open adjacent mode is Kaz Boots. So let's just go with that. And, you know, Kabuki is really popular as a variant of 80 keys. Yes, it is similar, but just adding the key sanity to it in all dungeons makes them distinct enough that, like, you play Kaz Boots and you play Kabuki very differently. Like, they're sure. Not.
Yeah.
Like, yes, they both have a standard start with a sword, but beyond that, like, the modes play very differently.
I just wonder if Overworld Shuffle is complexity for complexity's sake. Like, I think, so you guys got feedback that three modes weren't enough, and the three modes from last year were Open, Cross Hunt, and what was the other one?
80 Keys with Boots.
So yeah. the two modes, Open and Cross Hunt, both got negative feedback, right?
To some degree or another. Like, Open, like, the negative feedback to Open is kind of just like people were saying, like, yawn, it's boring. It's, and also it tends to be very swingy. Like, it's just like, oh, if you dip a pin in a dungeon.
That's such a weird rant. The fact that people complain about the randomness of a randomizer is insane to me. The fact that we're, the entire community was built on Open is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, That's one of those pieces of feedback where I'd be like, come on, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
This is a randomizer. If you just want the best execution, yeah, go play NMG, right? Like,
and I think like another aspect of it to think about, especially with the Overworld tile swaps, like, historically the main tournament has kind of been used as a showcase of new randomizer features. Like, you know, I'm talking going back to like 2017, 2018, like when Key Sanity first came out, it was kind of done with the main tournament with a that had Key Sanity as one of their modes. And like when V31 came out, it did all that. We've been on V31 forever, but like the V31 branch, the development hasn't really been happening as much, but there are developers that are putting in a ton of work creating a bunch of new features. And like, we kind of want to showcase like what's new out there. And you know, I don't know if TileSwap's going to catch on as a big new favorite mode, but it's pretty cool that it works and that it's out there. It's something new. It doesn't play as different or as scary as it sounds, but it shows like what development is still happening in the randomizer. And like, Doors is out there, but I think we would probably all agree that that's kind of a step too far. Like, Doors is not a heavily played thing. And like you talk about adding complexity for complexity's sake, like doors is a very complex mode. And like that's actually what's going to alienate. Just having Vu and CAC swapped, it's pretty easy to understand what's happening there. You're not having to also map dungeons. You know, it's just, it's a different level. So there, I think there is definitely room to try new things. And then having the veto system, like if you really, really don't like it, you can just veto the mode.
As the main tournament, why not just pick the three best, the most played, most popular modes and run a tournament that way? Like if you're trying to find the best runners, why not, or the best person that at rando of the year, I guess, why not just pick the three most popular modes, which would be like 80 keys, CAS boots, cross keys. Then you don't have to worry about people complaining about modes, right? Like, or am I wrong?
I don't know that you're right or wrong. Like, I think that's validity to an approach like that. That's kind of what we tried to do last year, but like,
but you didn't pick the three favorite modes though. You made up modes for last year.
We missed the mark trying to simplify entrance, because that was the first time entrance has ever been in the main tournament, and we were like a little hesitant. It's like, is this a step too far? And we tried to simplify it, and you know, it turns out like the people who don't like entrance still don't like cross hunt, and the people who like cross keys don't like cross hunt. So kind of missed the mark there. The entrance mode, and the people who aren't good at entrance still don't like entrance to begin with. So like, what do you do there? So like, we tried to correct that. Like, you know what? We're not going to mess with cross keys. People like cross keys as it is. So we're going to give you cross keys. And again, like having the veto as that a little bit more control of what is it that you don't like, you have, I think that gives you a little bit more design space with the modes you're selecting to kind of have a little bit of experimentation. Like, we're not going to use experimental modes for all five modes. I think that would be insane. But having one mode with a new feature that people haven't seen, I don't think that's necessarily that big of a leap, especially when you don't necessarily even have to play it.
I mean, is there an argument for not just picking the three most popular modes? I feel like in the beginning, when there was new modes aligned with the main tournament, it's because the game was still brand new, right? Like they just figured that stuff out. But we've been playing this game for almost 10 years now. Why not just take the most popular modes? That way you can include the most people, because those are the ones that are being played the most.
Well, it's like Jason said, right? There is some validity to that. To that argument, I think at the same time we were also trying to sort of grab, you know, a little bit more of that, like, you know, just add a couple extra modes for some variety and add some, you know, some different type of, you know, rando. You know, if somebody's looking, and we're trying to also grab the people who play the weird stuff that don't necessarily always play the most popular stuff, you know, and there's, you know, with the, like we said, with the veto system, that was our initial thought, was, okay, we have five modes. If you never want to play specific modes, you don't have to. And you can just stick with the things that are the most popular. Like, you know, you could easily have a situation where it's just CAS boots, Kabuki, and cross keys as your picks, right? So that was our thought process, was to offer some extra variety, but also give that autonomy.
I think the only other issue you run into, if you just pick the three most popular modes and you do that, then if you do that again the following year and the following year, like, it's just going to turn, it's going to get a little monotonous if you're just.
Why though? I mean, everyone drinks Coke and eats pizza, like, because they're the they're continuously the best that they let. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's true. Like, if people will get bored, I think if you play
like,
one mode,
I feel like we grabbed the three most popular modes though, like CAS boots and cross keys. Like, the data is there that there's not, like, those are about as popular as it gets. Between 80 keys and Kabuki, they're kind of pick which is your favorite. Sure. And like, are we going to do Kabuki every year? No, of course not. But are we going to do just 80 keys every year? I think like mixing it up a little bit between the two is good. As far as having the other two modes, like, I think having that extra variety of like being able to be flexible with the situations that an Animizer seed can put to you is like, that is a showcase of skill. And like, there is like, yes, the main tournament is for everyone, but it is also trying to find the, you know, the best, most well-rounded player, and having more ways to challenge people is kind of a good way to get to that as a goal.
Okay, that leads us to Tyler's question then, because his question is this. I feel like it is circling around what we're talking about here. It feels like there are two competing conceptions of the purpose of the main tournament in the community. Again, this is from Tyler Salt. One is that the main tournament exists to find the best, most well-rounded racer, and the other is that the main tournament exists to cast the widest net in the competitive scene. I'd love to hear the admins speak to those aims and their conception of the purpose of the tournament.
I mean, I think he kind of hit the nail on the head just with the question itself, and I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think that's an either-or question where it has to be one or the other. I think you can try and hit both at the same time.
Yeah, I I know I've been saying I agree a lot, but that, you know, I mean, hey, whoever talks first and makes the point that I was also going to make. But I think that really is a perfect way to describe it, because yeah, we do want to find the most well-rounded player. Well-rounded player is not just, you know, the best casual boost player, best cross keys, you know, we're not like we're actually thinking of ever doing doors, but, you know, best doors play, you know, whatever it is. But when you have five modes that are all generally pretty different from each other, you know, really, other than, you know, I mean, yeah, we have two modes that are all dungeons, but they're very different in their overworld and their key structure, you know, two standard starts, but very different otherwise. So each mode has a set of skills in common, but then each one has the opportunity for you know, for people to specialize in one, in multiple modes. Like, you know, you could be really, really good at Kabuki, and then you could, you know, and then you could suck at casual boots because you're used to routing it from an aspect of, well, you know, I need to have, you know, based on, you know, your key layout and everything.
Yeah, like you'd have your efficient full clear versus calculated risks.
Yeah. And then at the same time, you know, where it does sound like we're kind of beating a dead horse with mentioning the veto system. But that's also, that also goes hand in hand with trying to cast the wide net, because, you know, just throwing random numbers out there. If we actually got 512 people that wanted to play in this tournament, well, odds are the majority, you know, everyone's going to have a mode or two that they really don't like. And so you can veto that mode, and then you can, you know, try to be the best you can at the others. And, you know, you can still be the best well-rounded player and only be good at four modes. You know, you don't, you know, we're perfectly fine with considering, you know, you're, you know, the champion, you're the best of, you know, the 128 or whatever it is. But in reality, you never play tile swap because you just, you know, you literally don't like anything inverted. So even the slightest taste of it, and you want nothing to do with it. So I think, yeah, Tyler Salt's question actually was more like a statement, which sums up our intentions pretty well.
Yeah, it's very difficult to try and chase both of those goals at the same time. It's a tough balance to reach, but I think it is worth putting in effort to try and do both at the same time. And, you know, maybe Tyler Salt's trying to get to the point like he'd rather us pick one over the other and go hardcore focus on that. And I think that's a very valid perspective to have. But I think at least the years I've been on here, it tends to be a little bit more of like, we're trying to do both, and we're trying to find that balance to allow us to accomplish both goals.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Lou Maga's got a couple of questions. We'll start with this. With the growth of the community and the proliferation of events, this tournament feels like just another tournament these days. Why do you still see this as the main tournament in the community? What gives it the title and prestige in 2025?
So I think that would touch back on something I'd said earlier about the main tournament, and that it's, and you mentioned as well, is this is not a single mode tournament. So this is not like a specialized focused mode tournament. So what makes it the main tournament is that it's, you know, and again, I know the wild card this year is tile swap. But generally speaking, it is comprised of modes that are very popular within the community as a whole. And, you know, by bringing all the modes together into, you know, so-called main tournament, as the name has stuck with it over the years, that's just really what the intention of that's, you know, that's like where that's where I see it. I think the prestige of it is really just that, you know, by whether you win, whether you make it to, you know, the top eight, you know, top 16, whatever it is, you know, you're not going to do well in the main tournament if you only play one mode, you know. So you have to be at least decently skilled at multiple modes, or else you're not going to make it very far. So I think that's part of the prestige, is by making it, I mean, honestly, depending on the turnouts, even making it to the top 128, is showing that, yes, you are decent in, you're decent in every mode, or else you didn't even make 128. So I think that's part of it, is, you know, instead of focusing on like being the best cross keys, I mean, that's great. But then if you go against opponent DeVito's cross keys, well, guess what? Your skills are out the window, and now you've got to play modes you're not as comfortable with.
Lumaga also asks, if this tournament is designed to crown an annual champion as the best in rando, why include a widely unknown mode that has no practical competitive exposure? This is the overworld question, I guess.
Which we knew would come up.
Practical competitive exposure, like, once you play the mode and you see that it's basically just a variety of inverted, like inverted has practical competitive exposure already. This is just a little bit of a twist on inverted. It is a little bit different, but it's not like throwing, again, going back to the doors thing, it's not like throwing doors in, where, you know, doors has its own little sub community of people who play doors, where it's not as widely played. But like, inverted is probably one of the lesser played modes in the wide community, but it is played. Like, there was just a whole inverted tournament recently. Like, it is something that's out there. And I think looking at it through the lens after you play it, that it's just an inverted mode or an inverted light mode, like, it does have that exposure already. It's just a new twist on an existing format.
Yeah, and I think going back to the discussion about showcasing, you know, things that are new that are coming out, you know, I know we've all played this, like a good chunk of us have played this game for, you know, at least 3 to 5 years or more. But we're able to showcase, you know, what things can do and what type of modes can be different, right? So, you know, regular open doesn't have to be regular open. We've got that variety of inverted within an open mode. So that was sort of also, you know, part of why we were thinking that this would be something that is a good, is an idea that might work.
And the other thing, just really quick to touch on that as well, is while it is definitely a newer mode in the competitive landscape, Overworld Tile Swap has actually been around for a number of years at this point, which, you know, Codeman originally developed it as part of his Overworld Rando branch, you know, that that's, you know, forked off of the Doors branch. So while it is new to competitive, which of course will lead to a lot of people seeing it as a new mode, it's actually not new. Like, I've actually, when it was suggested initially that this was a possible mode, my first reaction was actually, yeah, I've actually played that mode quite a bit and I enjoy it. You know, I can understand the hesitancy because, yeah, if it hasn't been seen in competitive before, then, you know, there's going to be some unfamiliarity. You know, I think, I think if, you know, we all feel to, you know, cause there's, you know, cause we're, you know, we vote on everything, like literally everything in the admin, you know, all of our discussions. And, you know, we all felt, you know, we all felt this mode was worth showing off, that it had enough, it had more, you know, the positives outweighed the negatives, and that it was worth trying to get people to experience it.
Yeah, and like we all play tested it too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's no secret that tournament attendance is down. You know, League didn't have as many people to fill up the open tournament this year. Even the cross keys was smaller this year. Is there worry about alienating more runners by including something like Overworld Shuffle? Like, I don't know. I have no idea. Most of us don't know because we haven't played it. And I think there's like a fear of the new, right? It might just be fine. But is there worry that, yeah, you might, there might be a drop in attendance?
I think the thing is that we're going to have a drop in attendance. I think regardless, like all tournaments are down. I think there's no shock to that. You know, with all like, you know, with IRL stuff, you know, going back to into the office and things like that, it is down. There's no question about it. But I think, you know, with a little bit of playing, this mode won't push that as many people as possible away. I think it might bring some hesitancy to people, but I think it's like we said, it's an inverted light. It's not a.
So there's not a worry that this will turn people off and they won't join. Like, it might be a fine mode, but they'll never play it because they're not going to join now. So there's no worry about that.
I wouldn't say there's no worry, but I think like the flip side is also true, that there's a concern that if we don't have anything new, like people are just going to be like, oh, that's the same old thing it was last year. Like, they're, could be a lack of interest if the things don't change. Like, you know, if you don't innovate, things can die just as easily as if you innovate too much. Like, it's a very it's a tough balance to reach, to, you know, cap between capturing new people, keeping interest high, because it's like oh, we're just doing the same old thing again. Like, some that's going to turn some people off too, if it's same thing over and over and over and over again.
But if the same thing is the most popular modes, I don't understand how that's going to turn people off. Like, I think if you guys, like, if you just had Kabuki, Cross Keys, Kaz Boots, I think there's almost no uproar about the tournament this year. I feel like you get attendance is up. I could be wrong, but I feel like attendance is up and everyone's playing modes that they all enjoy. And I think you almost don't even need a veto, because I think most people are going to play these modes. Like Kabuki,
you have three modes. You don't have a veto.
Like, I mean, these are the three biggest
compatible. So
these are the three tournaments that have like the most participation in them. And now you're taking them all, and you have the most popular and the best of all three instead of one of each tournament. Does that make sense? But
also, at that point, it just becomes this is just like. It's three existing tournaments just combined into one. It's like, it's not its own thing.
But isn't that the goal, to find the best, like the best player? So instead of the best Kaz Boots, the best, because there's not a winner of all three of them, right? The same person. It's always somebody different, right? Unless it's Gamachu. combining them then show like this is the best player of the community, because these are the three most played modes.
I like I said before, I think that's definitely a valid approach to it. It's different than what we went with, but I don't know that it's necessarily an invalid idea. I don't have a huge argument against it. It's a different approach than what we ended up taking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think my maybe thought process behind that, if there was any, I mean, like we said, it's not an invalid idea at all. It would work. I think my thought process is, you know, there are a lot of, yes, there's a chunk of people who play Cross Keys, but there's also a chunk of people who play Cross Keys who don't want to play Kaz Boots. There's a chunk of people who play Kaz Boots that don't want to play, you know, Cross Keys, right? And if you see the crossover...
I don't think that's true. I think that's not true. I think there's a lot of crossover, because of that's like the three biggest tournaments are those tournaments. So there's our community is not that big. It's a couple hundred people at most. And I think the crossover between those three tournaments is pretty high.
Yeah. I mean, yes, but like as far as like the stuff being down, like that, it's going to be down regardless. Like
I know, but wouldn't it help to try to mitigate that? But wouldn't it help to try to mitigate that instead of, because there's people that aren't going to play now because of a tile swap. I feel like there's like something that I guess, because I've admin tournaments, I haven't since, you know, the league season 4, but I feel like there's this sense of like the community shrinking, and now tournaments are not only is the community shrinking, you know, we're losing people. People are going off and doing, there's a million other games to play, but now we're alienating the ones that are here by adding doors to league or overworld tiles swap to the main tournament. It feels like instead of trying to bring everyone in by being the biggest and the best, but the most popular, we're alienating the ones that are still here a bit. I feel, I don't know. Maybe that's just my feeling. It's only my feeling. And I'm speaking for myself, not for the community, but it feels like we've kind of lost the plot in trying to do something new as opposed to bring the community together and find the best player in the tournament or in the community. I mean, if you disagree this is where you can say, but
yeah, like I don't completely disagree, but like at the same time, I do somewhat that I think if you do just do the same, like the most popular modes generally don't change unless people start playing new things too. Like if you don't try it, how do you know?
You let those other people try those little tournaments. You make a overworld swap tournament. Let them figure it out so that you guys can do the good stuff. That's just my opinion. I'll move on because I feel like I'm ranting here a little bit. Let's see. We have Tofile asking, are you considering returning previous modes or presets like swordless or hard standard in future tournaments?
Swordless.
Yeah. Go from, bring hard, the release popular mode back.
Yeah. I don't know. I would argue that the amount of people who like swordless is minimal, but I could be wrong. Yeah. I just hate it so much that's the case.
If you want to chase people off, like swordless is probably a good way to do it. You'll get a couple diehard fans that really love swordless, but you're going to chase a lot of people away with that. I think as a general question, like, do we consider returning previous modes though? It's like, yeah, we absolutely do. Like modes that are well received, modes that people like, it's always on the table to potentially come back. It's not like we're going to take a mode and be like, well, we're never doing that again, no matter what. Like if the demand is there, we're willing to do it.
Yeah. One of the biggest ones was Infinite Keys. Actually, we talked about possibly putting that as well. It was a discussion, you know, when we were looking at, you know, adding things in, where, you know, was that a good mode? And it's still popular. Like, I know there's still calls for it sometimes. It's not very often, but it does get played. But it was a popular mode when it was played in the base tournament. So, you know, this is a discussion. And it's, yeah, we will always be looking
at it. When you guys are planning out the season, do you all bring up different modes? Is it sort of like throw it all out there and then see what kind of sticks?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, one of the first discussions we have, which admittedly takes place several months after the tournament ends, because we want to be able to approach with, you know, with fresh eyes. We discuss which modes we felt worked the best, which ones didn't. We of course know which one didn't work that well last year. We approach from there, and then we definitely still want some sort of variety. And so I don't want to say we had homework, because we didn't actually have homework, but you know, as we were planning the schedule for our first for our series of meetings leading up to drafting, you know, the rules document and the modes and everything, it was suggested that if anyone knew of a mode that wasn't already planned to be included, just strictly by popularity sake, if there were any any variants. So like what did bring Tile Swap up was wanting something that was inverted-esque, but not full-blown inverted. We basically, everybody tried to come up with something. I mean, there ended up, not everyone did, because honestly, before I even had a chance to really hone in on like a suggestion, Tile Swap came up and I was like, wait, I actually really like that. So, I'm just gonna put my support behind, at the very least, us, you know, discussing it, playtesting it, you know, and, but yeah, no, we definitely do. We do all try to have something planned out in terms of mode possibilities. Like we never want to enter the tournament as saying, okay, well, we never want to enter saying these are the modes and now let's convince ourselves we don't want them. You know, we wanted to, you know, you have your, you know, or I think this is the first time this has been stated tonight, but you know, the evergreen modes that pretty much you have to include some form of, but then yeah, we wanted to at least consider alternate modes.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, I've got one more question from Scary Olive. It's kind of a longer question, and it's probably one of the harder questions. He says, "Hi, why is it that the main tournament is always each year filled with controversies? I went and looked in the Discord, and it's unbelievable how bad of a track record this specific tournament has. 2025 Tile Swap is in competitive, rando, not well received. 2024 Cross Hunt, not well received, and did not become a mainstay mode afterward. Hover ban controversies resulted in change. Jank restream controversies. 2022 had to change mode from inverted to inverted keys after announcement. Async qualifiers, not well received initially. 2019 Fast Ganon, 4 Crystal, GT requirement controversies had to be changed to 7-7, and I'm sure I missed some. While I salute the admin team's willingness to listen to feedback and changes and change things after announcement, it is still mind-boggling that every year is another controversy for this tournament. Cross Keys tournament in comparison has also been a big driver in change, introducing a lot of things to the community and improving each year or every year. Managed to do so without mass uproar. Why do you think it is different for the main tournament?
I'm not taking this one first.
I'll take a piece of this at the back end. I'll mention the Cross Keys tournament, you know, the variations of not having that uproar happen there. I think the reason that that is the case is where it's different for us is because you go into that tournament knowing it's one specific mode. You know it's Cross Keys. Like, you're walking in, you're saying, this is Cross Keys. No matter what variation I play, and no matter what pieces of variation extra that I play, I'm always playing Cross Keys. So whether that's, you know, inverted Cross Keys, whether that's, you know, Cross Keys with Zelda Woods, or, you know what I mean? Like, those options always end up to one mode is the mode is Cross Keys. And so I think that's why it's not so much of an uproar, and it's because of that. Whereas with main tournament, you know, we're trying to do our best to change it around. We're trying to do our best to, you know, grab more of the community. We're trying to find the balance of everything, and, you know, that doesn't always hit. And, you know, it's understandably, if you're, you know, one thing might be upsetting, you know, you have that discussion about it. And I get it. Like, that's the reality of it. But that's for those two pieces of that question, that's my thought process behind it is, you know, you're playing Cross Keys, you know, you're playing some variant of Cross Keys, whereas we're always trying to change things around. So, you know, sometimes that parts of that are always gross.
All right. So I'll go ahead and go next on that one. I myself, my involvement at the higher level really would only apply for 24 and 25, in terms of those, you know, discussions and decisions and everything. Yeah. First off, in terms of the controversy of 2024 with the, you know, the hovering ban and everything like that, I remember discussing this on the Go Mode podcast after all that had happened last year. And, you know, basically, I, you know, which I admitted then, and I'll, you know, admit again at the risk of whatever reputation I still have. I was the driving force for that ban. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't for, you know, some altruistic, you know, like the most common argument or the loudest argument then was, you know, it's all about accessibility and dumbing down the tournament because, oh, well, you know, this person's an expert hover. This person's not fair. You know, that was never the intention. And, you know, I'm not going to rehash that whole thing, you know, of course, but, yeah. You know, but clearly it became obvious. I mean, it was, you know, and again, as we mentioned, it was a close vote even amongst the admins. And when, you know, as we, you know, we did listen to feedback from the community and it became clear that it missed the mark. And so we went ahead and, you know, it was reverted. In terms of the controversy over the you know the personal restreams or the jank streams, you know that was basically that was us having to deal with something that really only in the past, you know, probably possibly even year prior, they had really grown in numbers and popularity. And while, you know, we were trying to ensure that you know, that there were still officially sanctioned, and it's probably a bad term, so I apologize if this doesn't sound correct. But, you know, we still wanted to make sure that there were enough of the so-called highly interesting or most desirable to
you have a restream view. Partner. You have to make sure that
basically, you know, we wanted to make sure that, you know, and again, did we handle it great? No, we did not. And that also comes down to me as well being involved on the restream side. But you know, it became clear that we didn't handle things right. We tried to change things as best we could. You know, and so yeah, you know, ultimately, you know, when you are running something large scale, it's never going to go perfect. There's always going to be something. And, you know, while it does seem like a lot from the list, I actually think overall it's pretty small given how long the tournaments have been running.
Yeah, I understand what Scary Olive is trying to say. I think he's mostly upset that the Mos are not what to his liking, but it's every tournament's got controversy. I mean, Cross Keys has dealt with their share of cross, maybe not this year as much, but in the past they have. And I mean, yeah, every major tournament's run into some sort of controversy over the past 8 years or so. So I don't think you can avoid it, honestly. Like, even with the best intentions, stuff comes up, you know.
Looking at the list of things that Scary Olive posted, like the 2019 thing, I can't speak to that as an admin, definitely, and even as a player, like, that's before my time. For Crystal, I'm assuming that was a 4/7 fast cannon as the mode. Yeah. Like, that sounds like a mode of all time for sure. 2022, like, I remember that happening when they were going to do inverted and they changed it to that's when in Flukies was invented. It was going to just be, I think, inverted with flute, and everyone's afraid. It's like, well, that just means everyone's doing a 3-heart Hammer Thieves Town because that's just what you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
And like, they made the change and added keys due to popular demand. And like, I don't see, like, I know people got upset, but like, we arrived at what was wanted. So I don't know that that's necessarily a failure. Maybe it could have been anticipated better. Again, I wasn't on the team that made that decision. I don't know what happened behind the scenes there. 2024 pool float kind of covered it already. We know what happened there and we've tried to learn as much as we can.
And I think the biggest takeaway is that you guys have, you try to do something
new every year, like it's hard to do new things and have everybody just accept it.
But you've also shown a willingness to be like admit when you feel like you've got things wrong or you need to change. And I think that's to be commended more than anything, right? Like, other than like, yeah, no, this is the way we're going to do it.
And be like, no, this is what it is. But like, if that were the case, like, that I don't think we would be here having this conversation today. Like, right. If you're not willing to listen to outcries, if there is, you know, feedback, like the biggest thing for me, like, if there's feedback against something, like, I'm very happy to listen to constructive feedback. But if all the feedback is just, this is just bad, and it stops with that, like, I don't know what to do with that. Like, I need, like, I need it to be like, this is bad, and here's why, because of X, Y, and Z. And it's like, we can have a discussion and be like, is this valid? Is there reasons for or against it? And we can decide. And then if there's something to be done, like, we can actually act on it. But if there's just, hey, this is bad because it's bad, it's like, I need a little bit more to go on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe what he's trying to ask is, how do you prevent controversy? And I think you're in a position where it's
like, and I think that kind of goes to your idea. Like, how can you prevent controversy? I think going with something like what you suggested probably wouldn't really be controversial.
Yeah.
It has its own challenges. Like, I think if you just do that every year, I think eventually it's, interest might start falling off, and maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I could definitely be wrong there, but that would probably be a way to have no controversy. I can see that possibly being the case. So
yeah. Well, that's all for the community questions. Is there anything you wanted to state before we take off? I appreciate you all taking the time to answer questions that aren't easy. Like, the job that you've volunteered for, this is all volunteer work. Comes with no thanks, and it's thankless, and it's difficult, and you have to make people upset, and it's not fun. But if you don't do it, then there's no tournament. So I want to say I appreciate you all coming here. Was there anything else you wanted to say or talk about before we head off?
Well, for me, I just want to, I'm actually just going to turn that around right on you and say, you know, thanks for inviting us for the opportunity to discuss this, because one of the things that we never intend to do, certain things have to be done in secret because, you know, you have to protect the integrity of any event, doesn't matter, this tournament, anything in life. But for the most part, we want to try to be as transparent as possible. And I believe it was before we started recording and you said it, but basically, you know, voice goes over, you know, voice gives you the chance to properly express your intention much more than text can. You know, text can be misconstrued. So yeah, having the opportunity to actually, you know, not just type out, you know, in our announcements and whatever in the server, you know, having the ability to actually be asked the questions and respond verbally, I think that really helps. And so I hope that we've satisfied, you know, for everyone who listens, and everyone who had questions, concerns, or just general curiosity, hope that this helps.
All right. I think I'll do it. Aurora, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate you sharing your thoughts, and good luck on the season.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me on as well. Appreciate that. And thanks for giving us the platform to talk about it.
Pulful, great to have you. Loved hearing you agree with your fellow admins so often. And I thought what you had to share was great too. So appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
And Kaysen, always a pleasure. I know that's not your first and probably won't be your last. So as always, appreciate you coming on and just sharing your thoughts.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me. And I do hope that Overworld Pile Swap does not sever the friendship.
No, there's no worry about that. As much as I push back, I honestly don't have a huge opinion on it more than wanting to talk about it or hear your guys' thoughts. So
yeah,
good luck. Seriously, good luck on the main tournament. I hope it goes well. I'm really hoping that it helps. This is true. I hope attendance is great, and I hope that the gamma doesn't win. So.
That's fair.
I really appreciate them answering all those questions. I know some of them might have been a little bit harder than others, but I really appreciate their answers. I might not always agree with their answers, but I like hearing their perspective and trying to understand how they approach running this tournament. I mentioned this is a thankless job, the whole running a tournament thing. I don't know why we continue to do it. For the most part, I feel like most of the admins have figured out why they do it and are doing a good job after all these years, but it is a pretty thankless job. You have to just answer a lot of questions and people not happy about why a mode was chosen or why are you doing this or why are you doing that. And when things are going well, you usually don't hear, I really like this. So make sure you let them know the positives and not just the critiques. I hope we did that on the show. Like, I really did want to shout them out and shout out the tournament and not just offer up all critiques. I hope I accomplished that. And I hope they feel like they enjoyed their time on the show. Because I didn't want this to be an attack. I really didn't want to attack the main tournament admins. Yeah, I really appreciated them coming on and just sharing their thoughts. Maybe we could do that with the league admins too. Because I feel like when the league came back, I was pretty adamant about how they did things this year, and maybe not in the best way. So I think having conversations makes it a little bit better. We'll see. There's still guests that I want to get on the show. My time has been limited between this and movies I missed. I'm trying to get more people on, but it is work. And so if you take time to listen to this, I really appreciate it. If you're joining the main tournament, good luck. And I hope you all have a good time. I think, three of the five modes, I think, are spot on. Like, I think if I was running it, those three would definitely be in it. So, yeah. Good luck to the main tournament admins. Good luck to everyone running in the tournament. Good luck in the qualifiers. And thank you all for listening. Make sure you join the Discord. If you can rate us on iTunes or, I guess, Apple Podcasts or Spotify, that helps the show out. We're getting by. You know, there's not a lot of you listening, but I appreciate the ones that do. And yeah, go rando. All right, I'll try to get Nick Harrop, get Basement Cage on the show, and a couple of other guests as well. See if we can squeeze out a couple more episodes before the end of the year. Really appreciate you listening, and we'll see you when we see you.